When we are affected by these things, what usually comes to our mind is that God sent that storm, that hurricane. God sent that earthquake. God sent that tornado. But I remind you this morning that it's not always so. It's not a situation where God sent the hurricane that have just to some extent passed us, or the earthquake that we may feel tomorrow. Get this. They are laws of geology that determine a lot of these things. Geographical laws. You notice that hurricane can be predicted. That is, the expert can tell us that it will be an active season, meaning there will be much more hurricane this year than previously. How did they know that? Because the climate is ripe for it. And the different laws of nature that God put in place determine whether or not there will be many or few hurricanes. There are certain areas in Jamaica that are more earthquake prone than other areas. I pointed out that one of my brother who was in insurance, many occasions he was one of the men who was, while living in Canada, in correspondence with Lloyd of London. As many of you know, Lloyd of London was on one occasion the largest insurance company in the world. And places or company like Lloyd of London, another insurance company, they insure plane and ship and carriers. And they study and have geologists to study what are the hurricane, or the not hurricane, the earthquake situation, how much prone is Kingston as against Montego Bay or Mandeville to earthquake? So I was surprised when some years ago my brother told me that Mandeville, while Mandeville will still feel earthquake, it is not as prone and subject to earthquake as Kingston. I think the whole island was prone to earthquake. Well, some places are more prone. As we know, a place like California is more prone to earthquake than Florida. These, how too does the expert know these? Because the Almighty God who created this world have laws that govern these things. And watch here now, we are on the point that don't always think God sent this. The fact is, the laws that God made to control certain things, sometimes these laws kick off and an earthquake happens. We know that it's movement a certain section of the earth that create earthquake. Well, The people who study these things know them. But they didn't just come so. It's the way the great God created this earth. Now, but watch here now, watch here now. You know who is in control of all these laws? God. That's right. Even the laws of biology that control our health, depending, well, the Almighty God has placed a lot of that in our hands. Have you ever thought that? That a lot of times, how we eat, what we eat, determine our health. Wait. Our genes, that is biologically that which we inherit from our mother, our father, our grandfather, grandmother, determine whether or not we are prone to blood pressure, etc. As one health expert puts it, our gene determine what direction our health may take, but our diet determine what direction our health will take. What that health expert is saying is that our gene have the potential within us to make us subject to hypertension. That's our gene. How you and I eat will tell our gene, yes, galang in that direction. And that is, when we say God does this, we must make sure that we understand that there are many things God does not send, but He permits. And that is both personal and national. Many things that happen in our lives personally are happening to us as a nation. It's not that God say to the hurricane, hit Jamaica. It's the laws that in nature and the Almighty God decided not to interfere with that laws, that warm or hot ocean that kick off the hurricane, that God decided to just let it have its course. So a lot of time, it's God sent the earthquake to Kingston because people are so wicked. Yes, people are wicked. But does that necessarily mean that God sent it? Wait. But God can also send it. You get the point? God, in fact, the lesson today is about God's agents. And when you think of the might and the power of the Almighty God and the many and multiple agents that God has at His disposal, it should make us reverence God even more. Let me hear the passage which was read, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18 through verse 23. Let us hear that passage again.
Let no man deceive himself.
Let no man deceive himself.
If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world.
If any man among you seemeth, appears to be wise.
Let him become a fool.
Let him acknowledge that there are so many things he needs to know.
That he may be wise.
That he may be wise. You know, he that knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool, avoid him. But he that knows not and knows that he knows not is a wise man, teach him. What the passage, the part of the verse the brother has just read is pointing out that when we think we are wise, we might just be in the sight of God, be fools. Read on, brother.
For the wisdom of this world.
The wisdom of this world.
Is foolishness with God.
Is foolishness with God.
For it is written.
It is written.
He taketh the wise in their own craftiness.
You get what that means? The wise, the so-called wise, the people who think they are wise, the worldly wise, who make decisions on their wisdom, the Almighty God make those decisions failures. Listen it again, what you have just read.
For the wisdom of God, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness.
In their own smartness, the Almighty God going to take what Paul should have said in their so-called wisdom. You see, men who pride themselves in how wise they are, the Almighty God sooner or later show them, you're not so wise after all. Read on.
And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain.
You hear that? The thought of the wise. May I hold that, brother? The Bible tells me, both in the book of Job and in the book of Psalms, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But most worldly wise men and women do not think in terms of fearing God to turn his or her life over to Christ. They only think of how they can use their thinking to get wealth and to dominate others. And you know, but when whatever our wisdom bring us in terms of worldly things, when it failed to help us to fear and reverence God, then it has not done us any good. Read on.
Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours.
Wait. All things yours who? The people of God. All things are yours. And this is New Testament. All things, whatever it is in this world, the Almighty God can use it to serve the purpose of his people. Read on.
Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas.
Wait. You remember the background of this passage? When some were saying, I am of Paul, eh? And I have Cephas, eh? What Paul is saying here is that you over there that is claiming Cephas is yours, and you over there claiming Paul is yours. All of us belong to you. All of us belong to the church because we are God's people. Not just Paul, not just Cephas or Peter. Read on.
Or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours.
Everybody hear that? Even the things that are not yet. You know, when you talk about things present, remember the passage also implies things to come. They are yours. God's agent. An agent is that which are he who exert power that which are he who produces effects are acts on behalf of another. That is an agent. In Job chapter 14, verse 1, let us hear it. Job 14, 1.
Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble.
Read it again, Job 14, 1.
Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble.
Man that is born, that means if we are human being, we can expect to have some challenges in life. But notice now, Romans 8, 28. The passage just read is telling us that life has its challenges for every and any human being. But listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 28.
And we know that all things work together.
Some things work together. That all things work together. How?
For good.
For good.
To them that love God.
Remember, we have just been told that he who is born of a woman can expect challenges, trouble in this life. And you know, those of us who are grown, who are an adult, we know this to be so. In one form or the other, there will be challenges, there will be problems. But then, this passage in Romans, written by the inspired servant of the Almighty God, Paul, said that not that we think, not that we feel, we know
that all things,
not that some things, but that all things
work together
for good
to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Here we are informed of the pleasant and the positive outcome for a selected group of people. That is, whatever may come your way or my way, if you know you are really putting out effort to be pleasing to God in your everyday life, you know that even the unpleasant situation which you face in life, the Almighty God going to work them out to serve your better purpose. That's right. That's what the passage is teaching. But notice, don't just run through this passage. The passage talk about to them who are
called according to his purpose.
And here, the call here means those who answered God's call. That's what the implication of the call in this passage. God is calling every man and every woman. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Every man, every woman, are you in the audience today recognizing that you are a sinner? You have never submitted your life to Jesus' plan of salvation, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing Christ, and getting baptized. You have never done that. But you must realize that God is calling you. But you must answer that call. And when Romans chapter 8 verse 28 talks about that all things will work for good to them who are the called, it's talking to men and women who responded to God's call. When you responded to his call according to his purpose, the people of God, followers of Jesus Christ, must always be mindful that there is no place that trials, challenges, problems, and distress can take you or me where Jesus Christ cannot also go. No place they can take us away from God's protective power. Psalms 139, verse 7 through verse 10. Then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 to verse 6. Let us hear Psalms first on the fact that Christian, God's people, I emphasize God's people, because you must not forget that the passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 points out that special divine protection to make sure that all things will work out for your good and my good, it is not for everybody. Wait. It is not even for everybody who go to church. It is for those who are called according to God's purpose. That God will make sure that however dismal a situation may look, however perilous what you face may appear, it is within the power of God to work them out to serve your purpose. Let us hear the passage in Psalms 139, verse 7 through verse 10.
Whither shall I go?
Where shall I go?
From thy spirit.
From thy spirit.
Or whither shall I flee?
Where shall I run?
From thy presence.
From your presence.
If I ascend up into heaven.
If I ascend up into heaven.
Thou art there.
God is there.
If I make my bed in hell.
If I make my bed in hell.
Behold.
You notice how the inspired writer gives the two extremes. You go in hell and God can go there too. You go in heaven, God is there too. Read on.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me.
You know what I find striking? The Old Testament was supposed to be the time of darkness and ignorance. When the Bible speaks about at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, that was speaking of the Old Testament period. The entire Old Testament period was a time of ignorance. And yet, men like David and others, they live so close to the Almighty God that this type of knowledge, this depth of knowledge, understanding how God can and will work for his people, that knowledge was in these men, given to them by the Holy Spirit. Pick up where you stop, brother.
Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. End of verse 10.
Step down to verse 14.
I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
You know, one of the reasons I often, quite frequently, have to recognize God's power is to observe the wisdom that man has shown. Every time I see something that man has created, built, bring about, and it brings you to the human intellect, it takes me beyond the human intellect and say, what a great God God is. And Matthew, we dusty eye ignorant men, human beings, have created or bring about a lot of great things. But that always caused me to look beyond the human agents and think of, if man can bring about all of these, what about the God who has created man? What he said there about man in verse 14.
I will praise thee.
I will praise thee.
For I am
wait,
fearful.
Wait. Notice why he's praising God.
For I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Have you ever reflected on the functionality of your body? It's marvelous how the Almighty God made the botanical world, plants and trees, that what they give off, we need it for life. And what we give off, they need it for their existence. What a great God. The David, what he said there again, brother?
For I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
You see, man is full of fear. Have you thought that as magnificent, as awesome as the whale in the sea is, it is said that the blue whale is the largest mammal or whatever you call it that exists. And as large as they are, they cannot outsmart man. That's the way God made it. So here David was reflecting on all of that when he said, we are fearfully, not only are we full of fear, but we are full of wonders. When he says, we are wonderfully made. And what else?
Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well.
My soul, our soul need to know this. Ladies and gentlemen, look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6.
Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we
wait, wait. Who said this? That's God's promise to his people. Are we all there? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. To whom was this promise made? To God's people. God's people of all ages have this promise. The Almighty God promised that he will always be with his people. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
So that
and on the basis of God's promise. What, brother?
So that we may boldly say.
Wait, me not like how you run over that we so quickly. So that
we may
we who? God's people.
We may boldly say.
How?
Boldly say.
How?
Boldly.
We don't have to pian pian say. I trust in God. I believe in God. You will never leave me. Let me see if anybody hear me. No, nobody. No, we can belch it out as loud. What we may boldly say.
The Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
And I will not fear.
And I will not fear.
what man shall do unto
what
me.
What man shall do unto me. And we don't have to cover our mouth. You know, sometimes when something comes up where you are called upon to say something and you are not sure whether you are right or wrong, you just barely want to talk. But when you are certain of the answer, you want to belch it out. The confidence that we are to have in God's promises is something that we must speak loudly about. God's ability and resources to help us are unlimited and beyond our imagination. While I have come to just about one half of some of the things to share, I have not even yet listed some of God's, the things that God used as help for his people. But you will hear this. But let me make a few statements and one last passages on the fact that the ability of the Almighty God to help us, that ability of God is unlimited. And it is beyond our imagination. According to the passage of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, what does it say?
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all.
As many of you would acknowledge, this is one of those awesome passages. Unto him
that is able to do exceeding.
Notice the adjectives that are used to describe God's. In fact, Paul sort of got away here. To do what?
Exceeding.
Abundantly.
Above all.
If you are in an English class, the teacher or professor would fail you. You know, because this sort of sound redundant, like too much adjective or adverb, exceeding, above, abundant. What a God we serve. But wait. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul and wanting the Christian to understand the power and the blessings that are available in the power of God for our interests. Read the verse without my disturbance, brother.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
And you notice, it's the power that worketh in us. Us who? Everybody here? No. Everybody out there? No. The us here is always referring to men and women who have turned their lives in obedience to the will of Jesus Christ. I'm going to encourage you to join us next Sunday when we look at some of the things that the Almighty God used down through the ages to help his people. But one of the marvels of the rest in respect to the rest of this lesson is that lot of things that came the way of God's people, a man, a woman, a group of God's people, when it came as something negative, something terrible. But at the end, the Almighty God transformed the ultimate outcome of that thing. We will be looking on some 3, 4, or 5, or 6 examples to teach us that don't watch the initial presence of anything. It's the ultimate outcome that God will bring that you must watch. If you're here today, you're not a child of God. Remember, all things work together, not for everybody, but for those who are the called according to God's purpose. Did you know that today you can be one of God's called? If you are a man or a woman, a boy or a girl who knows wrong from right, sitting in this audience today, you know that you have never turned your life over to Christ in faith, repentance, confession of Christ's name and getting baptized. If you have never done that, you can do that today. Why? That is the way you submit to Jesus Christ under the gospel. Not only are we here to help you, Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you and to forgive you. All things work together for good to them who are the called according to God's purpose. You can make yourself one of those who have responded to the call of Jesus Christ. As we stand and sing, Jesus Christ through this message is calling you to be one of his special people.